You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Nine minutes after nine on the west coast of the United States. Joining me now is the man, the myth, the legend himself, the All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. Kim, what's up?
Top of the morning, everyone.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just sitting here, sipping an ice.
An ice what?
Cafe con leche. Cafe con leche. Milk and coffee and sugar. Stevia, excuse me, sugar, stevia.
Exactly, you better be precise about that. But it's pretty, but it's pretty close, right? Actually, I'm drinking some right now, so just some black tea, some English.
Oh, good.
Yeah, some English black tea with stevia in it, and as a substitute for sugar. And it's the best tasting substitute I have. So I take it with me wherever I go now. I have a little package that I put together, and it's a package of tea and stevia, and then I throw some Crystal Light, peach mango Crystal Light.
Ooh,
yeah, it's good. I like it. I don't like straight water. Some people drink straight water all the time. I don't know why. I don't like straight water.
That's okay, baby. That's what it's all about.
Show business? That's it?
No, what you like is what it's all about.
You know what? I'm a fan.
It's all show business, so what we do.
You know
you
what?
You and me.
You know whose voice I discovered that we often talk about music, but you know whose voice I discovered that I knew of her. I had never listened to any of her music. And I heard her voice during a commercial on TV. I didn't know it was her. And we've all seen the commercial, right? It is the Alexa commercial on TV where the kid goes to visit his grandfather.
Uh-huh.
The kid gives Alexa some command as he's leaving. And then when he's coming back, the grandfather gives a command that says, Alexa, right, play Valerie. And and I did not know I heard it, and I thought, and I heard the voice, and I was like, who is that, man? That whoever that is has just an incredible voice, right? And you know who that is?
Roberta Flack.
It is Amy Winehouse, who passed away. She's a British singer, and
yeah.
I mean, just listen to the start of it. I'm not sure if you can hear this, but we'll see. Well, I have to listen to the commercial. Can you hear that, Kim?
That she was great.
Could you hear that commercial?
I've heard it before. I can't hear it now.
You heard the commercial?
I have heard it, and I've heard him ask for the song. The grandpa asked for the song, and it comes on. And I didn't know who it was.
Let me know if you can you hear this. Can you hear the when I play the bumper music with Robin Williams? Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
All right. So hold on. I want you to hear this because you like music, and yeah. I did not know. I did not know this was Amy Winehouse, and I was honestly, I was blown away. So I'm gonna play a little bit of it.
Good.
Can you hear that?
No.
Oh shit. You can't hear that.
No.
All right. Give me a minute, and I'll unscrew this. No, because
I've been dying to ask you all week. What? How did your talk go this week?
Oh man, it was
in San Diego.
It was off the hook. Honestly, I mean, I they're always good, but
yeah.
Now, when I started, and I talked about this in the first hour, when I started, this was a proposition.
Yes.
I believe, right? It's not a proposition anymore because, you know, of what the 2nd Marine Division in North Carolina has done. 18,000 Marines, right?
Wow.
You know, got put through the class. They followed up doing their own stuff. They've had one suicide in 7 months. And so now...
That's tremendous.
No, it's the coolest shit in the world, man. And so now you can look at them and say, hey, you know, I'm telling you for a fact, if they can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
And it's doing it now is a little bit different. And now it's got a bit of a reputation, so people come. Yeah, I've heard about this. A friend of mine told me about it. And then people call other people they know that are places, and they're like, oh, yeah, you need to go to that. So they come a little bit different now. And so it's just cool as shit, man. It is cool.
That is so awesome.
And so So I just had people coming up to me, the whole time, talking, about things that they'd heard and whatnot, but they were curious because they had, obviously, they'd been to some of the stuff and they didn't particularly care for it or whatnot. And so, all right, you ready? This is Amy Winehouse. All right.
Hi, it's Rolling.
I'm sorry, Charlie Murphy. I was having too much fun.
You can hear that, right?
Yes.
Fine. Here she is. Listen to her voice, man. Well, sometimes I go out by myself in a local craft of water. And I think of all the things, what you're doing. And in my head, yeah. I see a picture. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? She is she's got big pipes, man. She is.
Oh, and she was a tiny little girl too.
Right, and she died. I mean, she couldn't get away from the drug thing. But I mean, you watch the video of her singing the song. She's a pretty girl with just a giant voice. I mean,
yes.
Kind of like Judy Garland, right? Remember Judy Garland?
And Judy Garland, Edith Piaf.
I don't know.
The little French singer?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Yeah, but I mean...
Jazz singer. But
I heard it, and so I've been going down to... and going back and forth to San Diego. Me and Amy Winehouse, man, just ripping it up.
Ripping it. Yeah.
Ripping it.
Good for you.
Along with Gwen Stefani. Just so everybody knows, the way I buy my vehicles... is I buy the best stereo I could find, and whatever vehicle goes with it is what I buy. That's how I do it.
Yeah, that's how you car shop.
Dad, do we need this car? No, of course we don't, but we need the stereo. Come on. Yeah. The yeah, so me, and then I was watching. Have you ever watched Carpool Karaoke?
Oh yes.
Is that guy funny or what?
Oh, he's a laugh. He is a hoot.
Right. So
and who he gets to do it?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he gets the most high rolling people in his car to do car karaoke.
And then it's interesting to watch it because at first, you know, you can see they're kind of, I won't say uptight, but they're kind of like, you know, trying to do like this interview and whatnot. And then once they start singing their music though and dancing like everybody does in their car, right?
Yeah.
It's different, right? They loosen up and they start having a good time and it gets funnier and funnier. So I binged watched that, over, I don't know, last weekend.
Did you wear a diaper when you were watching it? Because you must have been pissing your pants.
I was laughing my ass off.
You were.
And so, but one of the songs I saw, one of my favorites, I don't know her, but let's see, but I've seen her on The Voice, and that is, that is Gwen Stefani. And I mean, and she used to be the lead singer for a group called No Doubt. And then, you know, I think she was in it with her husband and then their relationship blew up and now she's married,
Blake Shelton.
Yeah, to Blake Shelton, you see them, and I don't know if they're as in love as they seem to be when they're on TV and shit, then that must be a pretty cool, that must be a pretty cool event. But this song, she's singing this song in the car, one of the songs that, you know, her huge hits after No Doubt, and she recorded this as a single artist, and so I had this thing. I have to say that my music is affected by my 15-year-old daughter, okay? Now, this song doesn't come from Colleen, but some of my music does, and people look at me like, you're listening to that? I'm like, come on, Kiss FM, man. Doesn't everybody listen to it? And they're like, no, Mac. Right. So she's dancing in the car and I don't know what color, I think it's good. I remember for the first time since I hated you that I used to love you. I don't know why I cried, I think it's good. I remember for the first time since I hated you that I used to love you. Oh yeah, so I've got her and Valerie with Amy Winehouse, and then the song Colleen actually gave me is a song called, and this is funny because it relates to post-traumatic winning, and how post-traumatic winning has changed my life and the lens I view life through, and even in the music I listen to, I hear post-traumatic winning. And so there's a song that a singer by the name of Katy Perry
sings,
right? So she recorded a song, and it's a love song. It's called Never Really Over, and it's about, you know, not getting over.
It's relationship.
Yeah. And so I'm in the car taking Colleen to work down to Newport Pier, and this song comes on. I'm like, I like that song. And so when I listen to music when I'm by myself or if my kids are with me, I mean, it's on as loud as it can go. Right? Thank God I'm hearing impaired or I damaged my ears. But it's on as loud as it can go. And it's pretty, so driving down to San Diego in the morning at about 5 a.m, not too many people on the interstate. And your stereo on as loud as you can go, fired up because you're going to do post-traumatic winning, and I'm losing my self-control. This is Katy Perry. Now, I'm going to show, I'm going to listen to the part that she sings. And I really found it interesting. Now, the girl who sings, Peyton Davis flew from Alaska down to San Diego to be a part of Post-Traumatic Winning yesterday. And she sang.
Yeah.
She sang that song called Hurt that I played. So this is Katy Perry singing. And listen to the interesting way they sing all these words in kind of a staccato way. It's coming up. Yeah, what did she just say? Like, what the hell was that? And so I'm listening to it, but I hear it, and it's so distinct. And what she's singing is this, right? I guess it's never over, right?
Yep.
Let me read you the lyrics. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over. And if I think it's over, maybe you'll be coming over again, and I'll have to get over you all again. And so what is that about? It's about you're not going to get over. All right? So here it is again.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. Oops, wrong music player. Hold on, here we go. Here's Katy Perry again. Now, if you listen to that song like 60 times in a row, you can get that lyric down. And I did. Right? But it's about not getting over it, which I thought, you know, I need to find a way. Because that little piece of comedy sewn into Post-Traumatic Winning is never a bad thing. I'm like,
no,
look, if Katy Perry can figure it out, for God's sakes, right? I think we should all admit that it's probably the truth. And then play that and say, yeah, you want me to recite the lyric for you? Because I could sing this shit if you want me to. And they'll be like, no, don't do that.
Spare us.
Yeah. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trick Colleen to go into my thing. I'm going to take her to my thing one of these days when the next one's in August around here. And I'm going to take her to one. And I'm going to bring her up on stage and I'm going to make her sing that shit. She doesn't know that.
That's okay.
No, I'll embarrass the shit out of her.
Hey, he'd belt it out.
Well, at first she'd be nervous, right? I'll have her explain the lyric. Right? Email question.
Yes.
It's entitled Your Selection of Music. So, should we deduce anything from All Chick Radio?
Yeah,
probably.
That he is metrosexual.
Yeah, probably. Like, I like female voices. Right, I'm not. My ear doesn't discriminate. My ear doesn't discriminate, and so I like what I like. Those are all female voices. Truth be told,
the female voice that rocked my world was the. Well, let's see. I think. 1965, the Whiskey a Go-Go, in L.A., of course, Tina Turner. And I was right in the front row bar table.
Had you ever seen her or heard her before?
Never heard her or saw her in my life.
So she rolls out and like, who's this? I don't know. Tina Turner.
And the Ikeettes.
Yeah, Ike and Tina Turner.
I had to wait till she left the stage for about 5 minutes so I could stand up.
Whoa. Tina Turner
could belt it, boy.
But she had her own, like, style of dancing, kind of like Mick Jagger, right? Nobody dances Chicken Man Mick, right? Yeah. And, But Tina Turner, there didn't have been nobody like Tina Turner. Yeah, and if you don't know who Tina Turner is, like, go do a search on her and watch her dance.
Yeah, right? Early. Right. Early dancing. Yes. Actually, she still performed up in, I think she lives in Switzerland now with a husband. But she performed into her 60s. I mean, hardcore dancing.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, like, when you watch her perform, it's not like somebody standing in front of a microphone. And
no. Oh, no, baby.
And crooning. Another email. Mac, are you more driven by melody, lyrics, or artist? Neither. I love lyrics. I believe that if you taught, instead of teaching poetry in high school now, Chaucer and shit like that, if you taught modern lyrics with, you know, and had students bring in music that appealed to them and lyrics that appealed to them, I think it'd be an awesome class. And you could teach all the things you could teach in a class like that. And then once you developed it, like with current content that they would be interested in, you could say, all right, let's kind of go back in time and see how they did this in hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And so let's look at poets like Chaucer. Let's look at, you know, let's look at Shakespeare. Let's look at different forms and relate it to that. Because one of the things I love about Springsteen is the depths of his lyrics.
Yes.
I love that. But like I said earlier, my ear tells me what I like. That's why when I argue with my daughter Catherine, oh, you're a Beyonce hater. I'm like, no, I'm not. My ears don't like her. I don't choose. I'm a victim in all this. My ear says, oh, I like that. Or my ear says, doesn't notice it. Okay?
Yep.
And then Catherine's dismissive of me. Whatever, hater. I'm like, what?
Not so. Not so. If you like it, you like it. Yeah. And you enjoy it. And if you don't, that's okay. I hope you get your jollies listening to this, but I can't.
Yeah, no, I mean, and like, that's why, like, even, like, when Colleen and I, or whenever any of my kids are playing their music, I mean, I listen, and I have broad taste in music, and I'll say, who is that?
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, that's Shawn Mendes, or that's Kendrick Lamar. No kidding? That's Kendrick Lamar. I mean, all the different shit that I listen to, from rap to country music,
yes.
it's just what appeals to my ear. So I'm not driven, honestly, by any of that. I'm just driven by whatever.
What your mood is?
No, it's all my ear. It's my ear.
Yeah.
My ear tells me. It tells me things. Right? And my ear told me that was a good song by Katy Perry. My ear liked that song. And then, and I don't know how many times I've heard the Alexa thing, Play Valerie.
Yeah.
And then, and I was like, I think I was watching the Yankee game that came on. I'm like, who sings that song, man? Her voice is incredible.
Yeah.
Voice is incredible. So, and you know, then you see her, if you watch the video, right? Right, she's, you know, she's a beautiful woman with this incredible voice, and she's up there singing and dancing, and she is like off the hook, smoking hot. And then you know the reality of her life, and you're just like, what a tragedy that you couldn't translate that success and that talent into something that made you happy and ultimately taken early because of an inability to deal with, you know, substance abuse. So
yes.
Yeah, sad, tragic story. Another email.
Yep.
Do either of you two have favorite artists? One only. You're on a desert island. You swim ashore. You see Tom Hanks. You see Wilson the volleyball. You feel in your pocket. Your phone or iPod says, we could only save one artist and one song. who would that be? So if you only had, if you were going to be marooned on a desert island, who would you be, what artist would you be marooned with? Not, I mean, just their music, not them personally.
Oh, just their music?
Yeah.
Rolling Stones.
With the Rolling Stones?
Yes.
Not the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, I take that back. Yeah, I was just thinking about, yeah, the Grateful Dead would definitely be.
That would be your go-to.
That would be my go-to because of the variety of music they cover. And mostly upbeat stuff. Yeah.
Right. All right. Mine would be Amy Winehouse. My new favorite.
It would.
My new favorite. I'd probably regret it after I listened to the song.
Like, because of Bruce? You would not pick Bruce?
I know. One of the qualities of a human being, I have as a human being that my kids hate, the ability to listen to the same song for hours. They lose their shit. And I like it. I don't even notice it. I just keep singing and doing my thing, and it plays over and over. And they'll come in, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What'd you say to me?" They're like, "What are you doing? Can you put at least one other track in this playlist?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to. I'm in hell right now with a single song." I'm like, "Whatever, dude, get out of here." So, yeah, they don't like that about me. Which, Catherine's birthday tomorrow?
Oh, God, that's right.
The beautiful, my number one daughter, number one in your heart.
Yeah,
Catherine, born in 1993. So, she will turn 26 tomorrow.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, yeah. Susan's birthday, what, day before yesterday? Susan turned 39 again. The best ex-wife in the world, Susan McNamara. And then Colleen turned 16 in a month. In about a month.
Oh,
a little bit more than a month. Yeah.
Oh, 16. Driving a car. Baby, you can drive my car.
Making $15 an hour in a part-time job at a fast food joint down at the pier.
God bless her.
I know.
That is great.
I know. Email question. Mac, first of all, I can't tell you how happy it made me to hear you read the email from Andrew Lorelli. I heard you read the first one the other day, and I think I remember you talking about another email you received about a month ago. I just want to say that when you read the email this morning, I cheered out loud. Now, this guy, I want to say he's 32 years old, he wants to join the Marine Corps as a lawyer. And he's lost about 80 pounds, and he's worked out, and he found All Marine Radio, and he said, "I've learned so much, blah, 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 blah." And so he wrote me, a couple months ago, and I read the email. And then earlier this week, he said that he was on pins and needles because the board that evaluates packages will come out and this week, and he'll learn his fate. And so yesterday he sent me an email that I've been accepted to Marine Corps Officer Candidate School. And he, listen to this. So this is cool. I'll read the email again. I read it, but it makes me happy to read it. So, "Good evening, sir. I'm beyond thrilled to be able to send you this email. I found out this afternoon that I've been accepted into Officer Candidate School as a pre-select for January 2020. My officer selection officer called to give me the great news. I was at my desk at work, and I let out a big scream when I got off the phone. It was one of the happiest moments of my life. I called my parents right away. My mom was crying, which made me cry, and my dad was also ecstatic. I'm sure you know the feeling."
That's so cool.
Well, actually, I don't. My dad was pissed at me. He's like, "Those idiot Marines can't pour piss out of a boot. Why would you do that to yourself?" So my reaction was the same. Right? He goes on. My Oso, the officer selection officer, told me how proud he was of the work I had put in to get to this point. He's going to work with me to make sure I go to officer candidate school as prepared as possible. Apparently, this selection board was extremely competitive, as you would expect, and lots of law contracts were rejected outright, but not mine. I'm so elated, I can barely contain myself. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I actually did it. What a day. Next stop, Quantico. Thank you for your encouragement, sir. Have a great evening. What a cool email, right?
Wow, that is awesome, Mac.
Yeah, I mean, so congratulations to Andrew, and good luck. Don't fuck it up, Andrew.
Exactly. A typical Mac response.
Yeah, hey, look, we're all happy for you.
Congratulations, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, well, that's the way we are, man. Come on, we're not. Look,
I know it,
right?
I know it, but I love it. But I'm just saying.
That's all. Yeah, so we're all happy until you, like, stand in front of us, and then we're like, why are you here? You can't be one of us. Come on. And then we'll be mean to you. But we'll be rooting for you, but you got to do it, man. You got to do it. You got to do it. So anyway, how cool is that?
Great.
That's awesome. The first email goes on. I have a cooking question for the chef.
Yes.
I was grilling ribeyes last night, and
yes.
I'm a pretty experienced chef, but he was talking about something months or maybe a year ago that he called the thumb test. Could he explain that?
Sure can. When I started out cooking steaks, I was taught the thumb test. Yes, they have thermometers back in the dark ages, but what you would do is the easier your thumb went in, you press it into a ribeye or a filet or strip, whatever you're cooking, the rarer it is. More firm it is when you press your thumb into it, and that doesn't mean jam it in. It means just apply a little pressure, and you can tell. And if it goes in easily, it's rare. If it goes in, you know, not so easy, it could be medium well, or if it's just like a piece of cardboard, it's well done. And, I mean, you know, your thumb will go in a little bit, but the rarer it is, the easier your thumb goes down, your thumbprint.
Right. So how do you – that has to be an experienced chef because it's not for people that don't know what they're doing. It's not real hard when you press on it to figure out if it's if it's tender or if it's a piece of leather. So it takes experience to do that.
Yes. And when you have a half a dozen or more steaks on the grill at one time, you don't have time to pull out your thermometer and stick it in the meat and look at the temperature gauge and this and that. Because by the time you get done, the first one that will be burnt to the crisp. And that's how that developed. You know, you got a bunch of steaks on the grill or the flat top or in a skillet. You know, I got to flip this. Or, no, I can wait a little longer on this one. But the more you do it, you know, still have your thermometer, but practice on every steak you cook. And then you'll get a feel for it. And you'll be able to be really good at it. It just takes practice.
All right. So that's the thumb test.
Yeah.
And again,
yeah.
It's not jamming the tip of your tongue into the meat. The tip of your thumb into the meat. Or that would be the tongue test. The same rules apply. All right.
That would be the masochist test.
Exactly. But it's now. Do you use the flat of your thumb or the tip of your thumb?
I use the flat of my thumb.
Okay. All right. So just pressure on the steak, and
yes.
And over time, you will be able to identify
yes.
Over time what works.
And when you throw a steak on the grill the first time, just press your thumb in and see how it goes in, and it'll leave kind of a thumbprint when you pull your thumb out, just so you get a feel for it.
Well, wait a minute.
Before you even flip it the first time. This is just, you're just test driving.
Right. You don't mean, when you say pull your thumb out, you're talking about lightly pressing on it, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, I think you ought to use phraseology that supports that connotation, because when you say, when you pull your thumb out, it reminds me of a picture of Tom.
In the pie.
Yeah. How...
No,
the
you don't stick your thumb in the steak.
Would I ever remember that?
Press the steak, and then you lift it up, I guess I should say.
Okay. All right. You know, speaking of memories, how did I remember that? I remembered two things yesterday. One I won't talk about because it's not very pleasant. When I was doing the post-traumatic winning thing. And
yeah.
I was on stage, and I was talking about, you know, how, you know, traumatic experiences change you. And I said, you know, when I was younger, I mean, I was a pretty easygoing kid. And I couldn't, now, I said, you know when somebody gives you the fuck you look, but they don't say fuck you? Or they act like, hey, fuck you, but they don't say fuck you? I said, you know, years ago, I just blow that stuff off. Now, my brain tells me, you should kill this motherfucker. Now, and I was trying to remember the first time it happened, but I couldn't remember the first time it happened. And then last night, right, you know those things all of a sudden come to you? I remembered. You know, when I was in Iraq in 2004, you would get your laundry done like once a week. And we had days that, you know, the operation section, you know, is on Wednesday. And, you know, the intel section is on Tuesday. And so... And if you didn't get your clothes there on your day, then you had to wait another week to have clean clothes. So, it's nice, you know, when you're in an environment that's nasty that you have clean clothes. So I took my clothes to the laundry, and it's run by civilian contractors that are over there making a shit ton of money. So in the laundry, there was a bunch of Filipino women, and then the guy who ran it, who was a big fat guy who wore jeans, a t-shirt, and suspenders, and he had long hair and a big mustache, and he smoked. Okay? So now I go to work. I was working for General Mattis at the time. So I go to work at like 5 o'clock in the morning because I would get there like 10 minutes before he would get there. He didn't know that because he thought I was there all the time. But I would get there. He would come in at about 5:20 to 5:30. So I'd be there at 5:10, and I'd walk in. I'd just start working, and he'd look at me. He goes, "Young man, you getting enough sleep?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And then when he'd leave at night, as soon as the door would close, I'd fold my shit up, and I'm like, "All right, boys, I'm out of here," because my Marines would not get there till like 7:30 or so. And I'd be there a couple hours ahead, so they didn't give a shit. And they're like, "Yeah, so you need to go to bed." But I'd be like a minute behind him going to bed, but he never knew that. So I'm filling out my laundry form in the dark because I don't want to turn the lights on and whatnot and wake other people up. So, and the form is a three-part form. The top form is white.
What?
Yeah, it's the top form's white. Then the form underneath that's green, and the form underneath that is yellow. It might have been four forms, and there might have been a red one. You were supposed to put the yellow one in the bag and keep the other stuff. So I drop my laundry off. I go there the next day, right? And so you roll around. I mean, I have my rifle like over my shoulder, and I go in there, and I've been there for almost a year, and this Filipino girl takes my ticket, and I just went by to pick up my laundry, like, you know, I do all the time. And she goes, and she comes back, and she's looking at it, and then she goes and gets the manager, and she hands him the ticket. So he comes rolling out, his fat ass comes rolling out, smoking a cigarette, and he has my laundry ticket, and he has my laundry bag. But when they did your laundry, they'd fold your laundry and they put it in the bag. My laundry wasn't folded. I could see it all jumbled up in the bag. Well, no, and so I thought, well, did I leave, like, you know, a round of ammunition in my pocket? I mean, am I going to get in trouble? Like, why would they not do my laundry? So I'm, like, thinking it's, like, something I did. And so he says, he walks up. He goes, yeah, Major, we didn't do your laundry. I said, yeah, I can see. Did I leave ammunition in my pocket or something? And he says, no. He says, you're supposed to have the white and the green form in the bag. You only put the yellow form in the bag. And, like, I'm Irish Catholic, right? Upper middle class kid, right?
You didn't shoot him?
That's who I am, right? That's what, I mean, and my brain says to me, it's the first time it ever happened to me, you should shoot this motherfucker. And I remember I was like stunned, like, my brain's never said that before. And he looked at me, and like, my brain keeps like the teletype right in front of your forehead, like, my brain can shoot this motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Give me my laundry. And I went back to where I worked for General Mattis. And I see one of my friends. He goes, what's up? He goes, why is your laundry that's not done? I'm like, yeah, that doesn't really matter. He goes, it doesn't? He goes, I think it does. I said, well, let me tell you what happened while I was there, though. And so I tell him the story, and I said, and then my brain said to me, shoot this motherfucker. And my friend looks at me and says, was it the fat dude with the mustache? And I said, yeah. He said, you should have shot his fucking ass. he said,
you had backup.
He said, that guy's a dick. And so now we're standing there, and another friend of ours walks up, Kurt Greiner, and his nickname is Big Money. So Big Money rolls up. He goes, hey, what's going on? And we're sitting there, nothing. And then my other friend, Chris Lauer, looks at Griner and says, Mac was going to shoot the laundry guy. And I said, no, I wasn't. My brain told me to shoot him. And Griner looks at me and says, the fat dude with the mustache? And I said,
no.
Yeah. And I said, yeah. He goes, you didn't shoot him. I said, no. He goes, fuck it. Let's go back. One of us is going to shoot that guy because he's an asshole. But that was the first. I was telling the story, but I couldn't remember because I was shocked that my brain said that to me. Right? I mean, because I'd never had that experience in my life, and all of a sudden, like, you know, as clear as day. And it's not like my brain whispered it to me. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It was like in a matter of fact way of speaking, like this was normal human behavior. You need to shoot this motherfucker. So anyway, but I was thinking about that yesterday, and
did you get the white and green in the bag after
no,
that?
No, fuck no, man. I wore dirty clothes for another week. Oh, after that I did. Yeah, but it was, you know, the day I did it, I was in a hurry, right? And I you got to say, yeah. I've got 6 t-shirts, I've got, you know, 8 green socks, I've got 2 sets of cami trousers, 2 blouses, which is our top that we wear, you know, 3 towels, you know, you list everything that's on there, so hopefully you get it all back. And so I'm doing that, and I'm in a hurry, and then I pulled, you know, what I thought I was supposed to pull out. And it was like, I put the white and yellow, and I'm supposed to put the white and green in there. That's what made my brain say that. And, like, it's like, okay, can you imagine, like, so whoever got that says they don't have the white and yellow, they have the white and green. And then the guy with the cigarettes going, those fucking stupid Marines, man, I've told them a million times. I'm not having this shit. We're not doing this laundry. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Are you trying to get shot here? So, yeah, you come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, come on.
Come on, man. There's another email. Mac, I've got a question for the chef.
Go ahead.
He says he only uses salt and pepper when he does steaks. Is that a lie? Is it a specific kind of salt, a specific kind of pepper? Because it seems to me, with all the different choices, it's amazing that he doesn't use any of them, that he's only a salt and pepper guy. All right, so explain yourself.
Okay. You can use a kosher salt, which is it's a little bigger granules. Okay. The grain is bigger on kosher salt.
Okay.
Or sea salt. It's a finer salt.
Right.
I like the kosher salt on steaks, and that is because it doesn't, you know, it takes a while for it to cook in, and then I use fresh ground black pepper. I have a pepper mill and filled with peppercorns, and then I use the coarse ground black pepper.
Coarse ground and
kosher salt.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I had kosher salt on my baked potato. I think I broke the record for the most baked potato, the most sour cream and butter in a baked potato in the history of mankind last night. I thought of you too. I said, Kim would be proud of me. I was so hungry. I've been driving between San Diego,
bet you were.
And I hadn't eaten very much in a couple of days, and so I stopped and got a steak, a ribeye, and I went to get a baked potato, and I got a giant baked potato. And then I fell asleep while it was all cooking, and then I woke up just in time, and I loaded that son of a bitch up with so much sour cream and butter. It was awesome. Here's another email. Hey, Mac, happy Friday. Please ask the chef about reverse searing of meat. Is he familiar? Be well. That's from Dave in Vacaville.
Reverse searing?
Yeah.
That is where I think it is. You correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. But you put your steak in an oven at about 250, and you cook it till it's rare, and then you finish it on the grill to get the grill marks and the finish you crust you want on the outside of the steak. If that's the procedure you're talking about, my friend Chad Kaya does that, who lives in the same building I do. And he swears by it. He loves it. I'm the guy that will throw it on the super hot 600 degree grill and cook it, and then cook it to very, very rare, and then throw it on indirect heat. Throw it off the direct heat on the burners that have been turned off to finish the steak. That's how I do it.
Got it.
But I hope you respond, Dave, and make sure that I know what you're talking about.
Got it. All right, here's another email. It's from Ohio, man. It's entitled Billy Overcame His Size, live in Muskogee, Oklahoma, 1969. Since music is a theme today, I reflected back on something you touched on a year or so ago, tying in the music to the timeline or the history that you broadcast. This song was recorded in Haggard's live album in 1969. My dad had the album when I was a kid in the 70s. I never forgot it. The context brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it. It also makes me think of Corporal Brown from Sergeant Major Zickenfuss's interview. Sergeant Major Zickenfuss I served with in Afghanistan. He is just an awesome fucking guy. And we had an awesome group of Marines in Afghanistan that year. It was the best group of Marines I've ever seen put together in my life. And he was a big part of it. He's a sergeant major, senior enlisted guy. He's just a great guy. He tells a story of a Marine that was not a great performer. And when he was a battalion sergeant major, and this is the story of, I think it's Lance Corporal Brown or Corporal Brown. I'm not sure. And I think it was Lance Corporal Brown. But anyway, they didn't want to take Brown with them to Iraq. And, you know, he was not on the initial roster to go. They were going to leave him behind. And this Lance Corporal Brown came to see him. And he was busy, and he sent him away. And he said, go away. I don't have time for you. So Brown comes back to confront later the following day, or maybe later that day, to confront him, the senior enlisted guy in the battalion. And he bangs on his head. He says, what, Brown? He said, get in here. And so Brown kind of reports to him, Sergeant Major Lance Corporal Brown, you know, requesting to speak to Sergeant Major or something, you know. And he says, Sergeant Major, he says, I need to go to Iraq with my guys. And he's like, I ain't having it, man. You've been nothing but a boil on everybody's ass, and we don't need that shit there. He said, Sergeant Major, he said, I've got to go. He said, look, I'm not going to say yes. I'll ask your company commander and your first sergeant, but if it's up to me, you're not going. So he talks to the company commander, the captain, and the first sergeant, and they said, no, we'll take Brown. So Brown goes. Firefight in Fallujah, I want to say in 2005, because it was between the times I was there. So I was there in 2004 and 2006. And, you know, we had these things called QRFs, Quick Reaction Forces. So when some shit breaks out, right, if needed, these guys go there, right? So this Quick Reaction Force is going. They get there, they dismount off the trucks, and they head on foot. Well, then Sergeant Major and the battalion commander, they arrive, and they're moving behind these guys. And he sees a corpsman tended to a Marine. He on the ground, he goes over and looks, and the Marine's been shot in the face, and Sergeant Major, and he's dead. And Sergeant Major Zickenfuss asks the doc, who's that? And the doc looks at him and says, it's Brown.
Oh.
So Zickenfuss says, you know, that kid's my hero. And in the interview, he gets pretty emotional when he talks about it. He says, you know, he confronted me. That's how strong he felt about, you know, about going. He said, you know, and then the other thing he says is, look, you know, being a Marine is not easy. Nobody joins the Marine Corps to be a shithead. They don't. I mean, it's not easy to join the Marine Corps, and nobody does. And it's up to us as leaders to find ways to unlock what's inside of them. He said, that kid gave his life for his country, going to the aid of Marines, running towards the sound of gunfire when he was killed. He argued with me to get to go there. He said, and really it changed my life and changed the way I lead. And now anybody who comes in my, I never act like that anymore. Anybody who comes in my office has my complete attention. And it's just an awesome interview by an awesome guy. And so that's the reference to Corporal Brown. Anyway, the email goes on. I chose this link because it was the album cover. The one with the flag definitely plays good. I highly encourage you to give it a listen. The Fight Inside of Me should be your intro to all things Vietnam. It's on the same album. So,
yep.
Merle Haggard.
Yes.
I'm not a Merle Haggard guy. But
let me ask you a question.
Boy, I was.
You were?
Sure was. Bob Evenson, after I met Bob, he was a huge Merle Haggard. Saw him at the Chester Fritz when he was here. Saw him in a club in California, in San Jose one time.
Get out of town. I'll tell you what, that just jaw-dropped me. I was not, right? This is a song called...
Oh, man,
Billy
he
Over
has some serious
but, you know, the songs that you, the songs that you remember that played in your home when you grew up, right? That your parents...
Yeah, that wasn't one of them.
But you know what I mean? You know how they take you back? And I mean,
yeah.
Music.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're not going to be able to hear this, Kim, but everybody else is. I think.
Billy never made football team. Was Billy's size too small? Billy's brother was a mighty lad and played a lot of high school ball. Billy's daddy never favored him. He catered to the bigger guys. But later on, in a bigger way, Billy overcame his size. The years flew by and Billy grew, but he never got very big.
The you see Merle Haggard got a serious set of sideburns, man. Did you have a were you a big sideburn guy?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I
had mutton chops.
I can't grow them, man. I'm that was my facial hair is not my thing, man.
I think a picture I sent you of me sitting on my chalet porch where I worked in Switzerland. And I had my hair was starting to get long, and I had big mutton chops. This was in the early 70s, about 73, 74. And I had him for a while.
The he's a smooth looking dude, man. And then sitting on stage with his, I mean, and you, just the orchestration is so different than what we hear today, right? The way music has been digitized and all the different things you can do with it now to make it sound better, but it's much simpler than it's him and his guitar and his background band and whatnot. So
yep.
So I'll listen then. All right, man, we're done. I got to go because I got to go. I'm going to interview General Mattis here in about 55 minutes.
Good luck with that interview.
I'm excited to do it. I mean, what the cool part is, he's excited to do it. He was telling me,
bet he is.
Yeah, he sent me an email and said, when I emailed him, I said, hey, sir, look, first of all, I worked for him and I know him. I said, look, just so you know, I have no, we're not going to talk about politics, the president, or anything else. What I want you to come on is so that you can talk about discipline, so Marines have a better understanding of why your thoughts crystallized as they did, as you grew senior as a Marine. And he sent me this really nice email. Mac, first of all, thank you very much. He said, it's difficult. To comment on things without people wanting to go places that I simply won't go. It's never been a part of my character. I just don't do those things. He said, so I'm looking forward to it. And, very nice email. Very nice email.
That's great.
Looking forward to it. And he's a smart guy and he would do things like people have heard all those sayings, no better friend, no worse enemy. Was a reminder for everybody to use the least possible force that they could use, right, to resolve something, right?
Yeah.
And to be mindful that, we're among, the population, which are peaceful people, and we want to be their friend, right? But if you want to be our enemy, right, you're going to get the full wrath of the Marine Corps. But to Marines, be mindful of being a friend as well in the same, in the next breath, right? And then another saying was guardian angels. And that was for us constantly to be on alert and have people that were watching 360 degrees all the time because of the threat of, suicide bombs and things like that.
Yes.
But what he did and the brilliance of all that stuff was guardian angels chunked a complex, thought into two words, and people remember it. It's like an advertising slogan, right? Things go better with Coke. Yeah. Guardian angels, and then another one of them was first do no harm, which means we come in peace. We're American warriors. We come in peace. There's never been a force on the planet that's gone and fought for countries, turn around, given that country back to its people, and left. In history, it doesn't exist. The British Empire got built because they went and fought and they conquered it, and you became a subject of the British Empire. The United States doesn't do that. So anyway, so I'm looking forward to that.
Give Catherine happy birthday from us.
I will. I'll tell him that. I'll tell him.
And Colleen, always my love.
Yep.
And the rest of your beautiful family.
Yeah, I will. Johnny Boy and Patrick. So anyway.
Have John and Patrick heard your talk?
Yeah, they both have. In fact, great. You know what's cool is that. In fact, it happened. Let's say Friday. It happened on Wednesday. After one of them, his captain walks up to me. He goes, "Hey, sir, I'm," and he gave me his name. I wish I could remember it. I don't. And he said, "I went to Officer Candidate School and the basic school with your son John." He said, "He's a good dude." I said, "Really?" Because his brother thinks he's an asshole. And he said, "Well, come on, what else would a brother think?" And I said, "No, thanks." He said, "No, he's a good dude." He said, "So you know it happens to me that guys who served with both my sons will come up and say something. Most of the time it's nice." And so one of the times there was lieutenants who John had taught at the basic school. So John's a captain, teaching lieutenants. And so they come up to me, and it was, I don't know, about a month ago. I was doing it out in the desert. And they came up to me like, "Hey, sir, do you have a son, the one you said named John? Is he a captain at the basic school now?" I said, "Yep." And I said, "Do you know him?" He said, "Well, yeah, he was one of the staff platoon commanders in our company." And I said, "Okay, and is he a dick?" And they kind of like didn't say anything, and they kind of looked around, and they're like, "Kinda." And I said, "Wait a minute, is he like a personality dick, or is he like a hard-ass dick?" And they're like, "Oh, no, he's a hard-ass dick. He doesn't mess around. And if you don't have your shit in one sock, he's not afraid to fire your ass up." I'm like, "Oh, that's good. We're all good with that, right?" And they're laughing. They're like, "Yeah, we..." And then one of them said to me, he sat down with me for 2 hours and talked to me about my choice of jobs in the Marine Corps, and I'm doing what I'm doing today because of him. So it's about all kinds of cool things about both my sons. But,
good. Glad to hear it.
Anyway, all right, Kim, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You have a wonderful weekend.
You bet. All right, later. Bye. There you have it. The one and only P. Kimball Holmes. Come on. Amy Winehouse. Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water. Yeah, going down, I won't say how fast I was going down I-5 at 5:30 in the morning. But listen to this song, it's kind of a fast song, right? So now I have to investigate Amy Winehouse's music. So on a Friday, as we get out the door, have a great weekend. And be on the lookout for people that need help, especially people that have trauma in their life. Do not be afraid to touch their life. And honestly, last night I came home and I was tired, and you know, this experience is just such a happy experience when you can positively impact the lives of people. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to this, you can do it, because all I'm doing is sharing, right? Is just sharing the wisdom that other people have given me. And you can do it too. Well, sometimes I go out. So next week, on Monday, you're going to hear Joe Mattis. And I think on Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll hear General Furness again talk about, you know, where the whole discipline discussion has gone in the second division. You cannot listen to this not up loud. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Why don't you come over? Yeah, I mean, I'll hit that song and I just put, like, repeat, same song. My kids, they throw a fit. I can't do this, Dad. I'm like, then leave, go. Like, what? Yeah, don't, come on, why are you trying to dog me? Alright, on a Friday, that'll do it. Awesome week. I just got an email this morning. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, Merle Haggard. Oh, from Vacaville Man. He says affirm to Kim. So he's, and when Kim said, correct me if I'm wrong. Ohio Man, Lance Corporal, you're correct. I always want to promote him. Well, let me tell you, I mean, you know, it's a different group of people that when shooting starts, they look and they're like, let's go, and they go, right? And, you know, I said this yesterday. If you're ever fortunate enough to see Marines fight, take your breath away and make you cry. The courage and the selflessness that they exhibit all the time, and it starts with the thing that makes the Marine Corps special, which are the people that look at a challenge and have a chip on their shoulder and get told, yeah, you probably can't do it, and say, yeah, I'll do that. That's an interesting group of people. And it always has been. And it always will be. As long as our slogan is, maybe you can be one of us, maybe the few, the proud, the Marines. That whole campaign attracts a different cat. We don't attract somebody looking to participate. The Marine Corps is not a participatory event. It's a carnivore festival. Anyway, and again, that's why we can make a special contribution, in my opinion, to this whole fight against destructive behavior, you know, suicide. You know, most units have lost more Marines to suicide than they did in combat. How the fuck does that make sense? How the fuck does that make sense? Brutal. Alright, before I get to fire up Gwen Stefani, Amy Winehouse, and Katy Perry, have a great weekend. And like I said, we might talk about discipline a lot next week with, you know, General Mattis. You'll hear him. You'll hear, he's got a book coming out too. We'll talk about that a little bit, hopefully, if he wants to. I'm sure he will. And then I saw something he wrote about. He said, if you're looking for a tell-all book, you're going to be sorely disappointed. My book's about leadership. Written with Bing West, and it's going to be released in September now. Initially designed to be released this week, and now it's going to be released in September. And so we'll probably have General Furness on talking about discipline, and then, I mean, once they talk about it, you know, right, that the Genius Group has to talk about it. The Lynch and Kenny event have to talk about it. So you might hear a little bit about discipline next week. So, depending on current events. Good luck to all the Marines out there. Near the Straits of Hormuz. Good hunting. Devil dogs. Make us proud. Friday, All Marine Radio, after an incredible week. And again, thank you to everybody at MCRD. This is an awesome time. And it makes me feel good because I know it'll save people's lives. I know it'll change people's lives. So, looking forward to the next one, which is going to be in, actually D.C. now. I just learned today. On a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and out.